between you and your client. This relationship starts as you implement the system, but as that success becomes evident to your client, the relationship can grow. All right? You can then set yourself to receive a portion of the increases that the direct marketing might create. Read and study the next several chapters often. Make certain you become an expert in the skills and tools of direct marketing. It is these tools which help you successfully implement the system. Without the tools of direct marketing, it is very difficult, if not almost impossible, for successful implementation of the 21st century marketing system. Okay? In addition, a direct marketing project could be a separate project established for a fee. Sure, Tom, yeah, we can set this direct mail up and I'll write the letter and we'll hire a gal and she'll do some follow-up calls and that'll be $1,500. Okay? So you could charge a fee for it. Page 2, with this profile of your customers, you can begin outside direct marketing efforts. See, the other reason you want to do the customer-based project is to find out who his customer is. So if you need to order a list from a list broker, you know what demographics you want to get. See? So if you had not done that project and you tried to go make a stab at it, you might miss. Okay? You can purchase a list of prospects that meet the demographic profile of your client's customer. From this list, you begin to test and implement direct marketing. For example, a client in the metals casting industry had customers that were pool cover manufacturers. This type of customer was a dominant source of revenue for the business. As we generated additional revenue from the pool covering client, we also ordered the names of other pool covering clients in all parts of the U.S. An outside direct marketing project was established to begin generating letters, phone scripting, and follow-up processes. So this can not only be a fee-paid project, but after the testing is completed, you can arrange an ongoing relationship with your client. Another area that you'll want to see if direct marketing is something you want to affiliate with the client is that if his product can go outside the boundaries of that locale. Okay, if you have just a small mom and pop store that's there in business and that's all they can do is service that little town, well then the energies consumed in direct marketing going to be pretty limited. Okay, but you get a client who has a terrarium that can be sold nationwide or has legal services that can be sold nationwide where it's past the boundaries of just that town, you then have some direct marketing going on, see? That you'd want to be more interested in. Cliff has a direct marketing opportunity because his customers come from all over. See? But it's a certain type of customer. So you'd want to do some projects for him, find out what type of customers those are, then you can go buy lists that are those people. In fact, you could buy lists that were lists of people who bought fishing equipment through the mail. That list is out there. Okay? And so there's a lot of that. You'd want to match that and you have a project. Outside direct sales. As a consultant during the second project, it may be that you get involved in the hiring and training of outside salespeople. The outline provided in Project 2 is a guide to help you in the training. Tom Hopkins' book, How to Master the Art of Selling, is also a great tool. So I'd recommend you pick that book up. It's a great book. Okay, page 3 talks about, again, residual income opportunities as why this project can be a good one for you. Page 4, why the growth in direct marketing. And what is direct marketing? Roger Babson, noted financial, said, the man who owns his own business has over 400 times the chance of becoming independent than the man who works for others. Okay? Why is that? Whereas I think the experience is certainly opposite for most who own their own business.
Well, your potential is really unlimited. With working for somebody else, you can make your $15, $20, $25 an hour for 8 hours a day, 160 hours a month, and that's basically it. When you're working for yourself, you can make $10 an hour, 80 hours a week, and no. I mean, you have the unlimited.
Try it. And what is it? What is you have to do, according to Michael Gerber, to get your business to the point where it might make you independent? You have to systemize the business. Okay? And that's what you're helping these small business owners do. You're helping them take a gigantic, fluffy term, totally foreign to most of them, called marketing. Okay? They've not been trained in it. They don't know what it is. They've been doing it in spite of themselves. And you're just, all you're doing is helping to bring it down into this system. Okay? Which then, step by step, you get that system into the business. It might be just a one-time consultation with some materials left behind. It might be project implementation that stops right here. It might be an ongoing relationship for 1 year, for 2 years, for who knows. Okay? So that's all you're doing. It's nothing more complicated than that. It's not hard. Okay? And you don't want to make it hard. Because if we did, we'd lose our clients. We wouldn't keep them and we wouldn't sell them, okay? So it's been systemized. The reason that it's been successful in coming down to a system is because of the hidden assets. If we didn't look at marketing through hidden assets, then we wouldn't be able to systemize it. Okay. So, direct marketing, the reason it's growing is because of our changing demographics, and we're people that are becoming more targeted and smaller groups instead of the mass. You remember at the beginning where mass marketing is out, database marketing is in. Okay. What is direct marketing? Direct marketing is communication one-on-one between a seller and buyer. The seller makes direct contact with the prospective buyer. A transaction occurs. The transaction might be just a lead. The transaction might be a sale. Okay, but some transactions taking place between the buyer and the seller on a direct basis. We don't have a reseller in there. We don't have a retail group in there. We're going from owner to the buyer. Okay. Direct marketing's birthplace occurred as early as the late 1800s. A man, Montgomery Ward, made a small investment, rented space in an 8x12 sheet, and sent out his first catalog. Okay. That's where it started. Sears followed suit with their direct mail catalog. Today, there are thousands of specialty mail order houses around the country. These specialty houses have anywhere from fresh cigars, shoes, specially made leather goods, import items, etc. And that's why I have a whole project with the terrariums, is there's 1,500 gift and novelty item catalogs in this country. Okay? Just gift and novelty items. Okay? So it's big. One of the largest direct marketing houses today is Finger Hut. And I don't know if you guys have heard of Finger Hut, have you? Next paragraph down. Key ingredient with direct marketing is the direct response tool. Here, direct marketing takes a dramatic turn from traditional marketing and traditional advertising. We hear on TV and see in the newspaper creative jingles and slogans that present an image. It creates feelings and bids for our loyalty. Direct response asks for a sale. It doesn't concern itself with image, but rather with the winning of customers. And see, that's why the direct marketing is a big tool of all of your projects. Is because he wants accountability now. He wants measurability now. He doesn't want fluff. He's had it for 40 years. Okay? And he's saying, listen, guys, if you're talking now to me in terms of test and small bits, I'll do that. Because that's what you have to do, according to Michael Gerber, to get your business to the point where it might make you independent. You have to systemize it. You have to systemize the business. Okay? And that's what you're helping these small business owners do. So you're helping them take a gigantic, fluffy term, totally foreign to most of them, called marketing. Okay? They've not been trained in it. They don't know what it is. They've been doing it in spite of themselves. And you're just, all you're doing is helping to bring it down into this system. Okay? Which then, step by step, you get that system into the business. It might be just a one-time consultation with some materials left behind. It might be project implementation that stops right here. It might be an ongoing relationship for 1 year, for 2 years, for who knows. Okay? So that's all you're doing. It's nothing more complicated than that. It's not hard. Okay? And you don't want to make it hard. Because if we did, we'd lose our clients. We wouldn't keep them and we wouldn't sell them. Okay? So it's been systemized. The reason that it's been successful in coming down to a system is because of the hidden assets. If we didn't look at marketing through hidden assets, then we wouldn't be able to systemize it. Okay? So, direct marketing, the reason it's growing is because of our changing demographics, and we're people that are becoming more targeted and smaller groups instead of the mass. You remember at the beginning where mass marketing is out, database marketing is in. Okay? What is direct marketing? Direct marketing is communication one-on-one between a seller and buyer. The seller makes direct contact with the prospective buyer. A transaction occurs. The transaction might be just a lead. The transaction might be a sale. Okay? But some transactions taking place between the buyer and the seller on a direct basis. We don't have a reseller in there. We don't have a retail group in there. We're going from owner to the buyer. Okay. Direct marketing's birthplace occurred as early as the late 1800s. A man, Montgomery Ward, made a small investment, rented space in an 8x12 sheet, and sent out his first catalog. Okay. That's where it started. Sears followed suit with their direct mail catalog. Today, there are thousands of specialty mail order houses around the country. These specialty houses have anywhere from fresh cigars, shoes, specially made leather goods, import items, etc. And that's why I have a whole project with the terrariums, is there's 1,500 gift and novelty item catalogs in this country. Okay? Just gift and novelty items. Okay? So it's big. One of the largest direct marketing houses today is Finger Hut. And I don't know if you guys have heard of Finger Hut, have you? Next paragraph down, key ingredient with direct marketing is the direct response tool. Here, direct marketing takes a dramatic turn from traditional marketing and traditional advertising. We hear on TV and see in the newspaper creative jingles and slogans that present an image. It creates feelings and bids for our loyalty. Direct response asks for a sale. It doesn't concern itself with image, but rather with the winning of customers. And see, that's why the direct marketing is a big tool of all of your projects. It's because he wants accountability now. He wants measurability now. He doesn't want fluff. He's had it for 40 years. Okay? And he's saying, listen, guys, if you're talking now to me in terms of tests and small bits, I'll do that because that makes sense. But come and try to tell me to run a $5,000 radio campaign, starting now to not make much sense because I got screwed before on that. Okay? I had one that worked, but I just never know. So I don't want to stop it necessarily, but I can't spend $5,000. I might spend a little bit on it. And so where else should I go? What else should I do? What else can I do? Okay? And so this is what you can do. All right? All right. Then the next pages are just the reason for the growth in direct marketing. You can read that. Project implementation then on page 8. Step 1, so as you look at your direct marketing project, week 1, step 1 is make sure all other steps of the system are being implemented and determine your target market. So what you've got to have is you've got to have a target market. The terrarium target market is gifts. Gifts and novelty items. Okay, it's not flowers, it's not nursery things, it's not landscaping, it's not gardening, it's gifts. Okay, we pretty well know that. Kmart bought it because of that. So we're learning, all right? And so that's the target market. Okay? It may be that direct marketing may be a paid project or contingency. The following reasons suggest why you do this project after others are in place. Number one, you'll want and need to establish more of a relationship with your client before they risk the resources necessary to test direct marketing. Okay, so to even do direct marketing is going to take some money. You got to test it. Well, if you've done the other projects and you've had some results, is he more likely to test the direct marketing? That's right. Your other projects should have generated new income for the client, making him more willing to test. And you'll learn better the target market that he's really serving. This will improve your chances for success. A successful direct marketing project can lead into a longer-term relationship and result in contingency source of income for you. No, do not let this be the rule in all cases. An exception would be a setup that you come in contact with. For example, a business may already have a direct marketing campaign going and, after a good USP, be ready for the USP into all of his direct marketing, his letters, his phone calls. In this case, you might move right to direct marketing. So, you might get USP done, get it into all of his direct marketing on the next step. He may not have salespeople, or his direct marketing may be his current marketing, see? The order suggested in the case your client has no direct marketing currently and needs more development. And if you move too quickly, cost your client resources, it may mean other projects become less likely. The system organized is what are the highest leveraged, least risky projects, and projects that require little or sometimes no money to implement, other than your fee, of course. You will be able to learn a lot about your client's customers through USP calls, sales training, working the base. You'll know more about what to offer. You'll understand better the price and ratios. This information will greatly enhance your chance for success. Finally, you want to determine the target group most likely to respond. This could be in attracting new customers or reactivating old ones. 2, get the proper mailing list, okay? You open up your phone book, you'll find hundreds of mailing list brokers, okay? This may mean purchasing a list. American Business List is good. There are thousands of other companies. Check your yellow pages and see what all your choices are. The list may be the list of an alliance company. All right? So maybe not instead of ordering from a mail brokerage house, you're going to go use the list of an alliance complementary business, okay? It may be the list of a competitor. In this step, secure the list. Step 3 is determine the methods for reaching the target. So we go, how do I reach it? Your most common are going to be mail, phone, or both. Okay? Make the best determination of the method of marketing you want to use. Again, if you've completed this project, other projects, this will be easier. Open your mind to other possibilities. It may be time to hire a sales rep. That's all that happened with the catering client that I had. When we started, he was at $300,000 a year. Hired one salesperson, and a year and a half later, he's at $500,000 a year. Okay? That's all we did. Is salesperson, outside salesperson, direct marketing? Yeah, it is. Okay? It may be the best to outsource the list management to other companies, or you could outsource the entire marketing, even perhaps your own company. Step 4, begin the test. Okay? Test the list, offers, prices, and other aspects of the campaign. Find the most successful mix, then roll out the campaign. Begin testing. And again, if you've successfully completed other projects, this will be less of a risk. It's important to let your client know you'll test in small quantities before rolling out the campaign in a major effort. Also, try to test with phone follow-up if possible. This can increase your response 25 to 100%. It's important at the beginning of the relationship to set correct expectations by teaching your client about the need to test. Help him understand that even as a professional marketer, it's wrong for you to project results until you've tested. Finally, always judge success of your efforts on profitability, not response levels. If your response is low, it may be that you can still make the project profitable with upselling or understanding the lifetime value of a customer. Make certain you teach this well to your client. They will be patient in seeing results. If you test in small quantities, it minimizes losses if your testing is off the mark. As you get this project to unfold, you'll want to watch for contingency opportunities. You could approach your client with the possibility of you continuing to write copy, coming up with new offers in return for a percentage of the gross sales. It could turn into then a long-term project generating new income. All right, now we begin on page 12, getting people to buy your products and services, direct mail. And so all we have now is page 14, the elements of effective direct mail. Okay, headlines and openings with samples of headlines and openings and good words to use in headlines. That goes all the way through page 23. And then you get to your copy, and it talks about how to write good copy. That's all the way through 27. Then you get to your offer, your call to action, your guarantee, the postscript, and then elements of direct mail summarized again. Page 32, putting the direct mail package together, talks about the envelope, first class versus third class, bulk mailing, your brochures, your response devices, a reply card or coupon, mail order with classified ads, 39, establishing a direct mail department for the business. Might just happen if it grows and grows. Telemarketing, page 42, talks about the use of the phone and how it can be used. Telemarketing, direct mail follow-up. Page 47, the many uses of telemarketing. I mean, there's dozens here. You can use it for communicating with the current customer base, use it for retail wholesale promotion, appointment setting, service calls, customer follow-up, surveys, price testing, direct mail follow-up, prospect qualifying, upselling, making sales, following up. See, so a lot of reasons to use the phone. Script writing gives you some directions on how to write scripts, keep records. Some more direct marketing fundamentals. Testing, types of testing. Tips for increasing response on page 58. Back-end selling on page 60. 25 musts for the startup consultant. So turn to page 63. Let's kind of conclude with that. The startup consultant. 25 musts. One, you must develop the ability to see the needs and wants of others. Now, what we've done in our training is try to give you the questions that you need so that you can develop that ability. All right? And they're all in there if you'll just follow those questions, which is what I did early on in starting up. I'd go in and have these boilerplate questions that I was asking. Okay? Pretty soon I could leave them home. Same thing will happen to you. So you've got to develop that ability. Two, you must find a market gap. We have found that gap. What is that gap?
Marketing.
That's right. Why don't the big ones want to go service the small ones?
Money for traditional consulting, and they may not have as good a systemized approach.
Try. And they're a finicky little group. They're just a tough group to deal with. And so we've developed a system around that to try and accommodate that, and we can do it. So we found the gap. The gap is this 100,000 to 5 million. Where the owner's doing everything, the owner's trying to handle everything, and his traditional marketing has not worked, and he's frustrated with it, and so this big gap appears. Okay, he doesn't have the money to buy a full-time marketer, he doesn't have the money to buy a marketing department, and so here he is. Okay. Three, you must become a service and quality fanatic. I had a client just the other day that called me up, says, "Are we finished?" I said, "Well, I thought we were." He says, "Oh, okay. Well, I wondered about this and this." I said, "I'll be over this afternoon. Let's get it wrapped up." Okay. I knew he wasn't easy. He wasn't settled. Okay. And so that's service and quality fanatic. You have to make sure your client feels good and likes what you've done and is settled on what you've done, okay? You must get started. Don't go back and prepare to sell anymore. That's why you came here. You came here to prepare to sell, all right? Now go out and just start selling. Don't go home. We had one licensee go back to Las Vegas and bought $5,000 more from Abraham. You don't got to go do that. We've got all you need. All you need is here, okay?
I thought I'd get his other stuff and read them, you know, and make sure I was really ready, you know. So you must get started. Five, you must offer your original investors the chance to profit in a big way, if you have any. You must start small. You must use the telephone constantly for acquiring all kinds of information. You must hire the best people and generate entrepreneurial excitement. You must charge enough, meet problems head on, and collect your money up front. Okay? That's why it's set up the way it is. You would have a rough time if we taught you opposite, where you say, go out and go ahead and just do all this work and hope they pay you. You must develop a strategy that helps your customer grow, improve, or profit. That's our system. Our system is a strategy that helps our customer grow, improve, and profit. Okay? You must aim constantly to become the dominant company in your industry. That is our aim. You will be, when you go back, the dominant small business marketing systems company in the area. Okay? And you want to do that. That should be your goal. You must maintain scrupulous honesty and integrity, always and in all dealings. Do what you say you'll do. Again, I get back to what I talked about earlier. And see, this client called me because he felt I hadn't done yet everything that I said I would do. Okay? You must accept no freebies, particularly government grants or subsidized loans. You must become generous to employees with wages, profit sharing, and benefits. You must see your company as national rather than local. You must develop tenacity and perseverance to survive days and nights of anxiety. We've had those days, huh? Okay.
Don't go into the airline business if you don't want any anxiety.
You must manage your company for constant mistake avoidance. If you'll follow the steps of this system, you'll avoid many mistakes, okay? If you try to abort the system in any way along the way, you're at risk. You must win your customers back again and again. You must apply a fail-safe range of management checkpoints and controls. Establish a corporate philosophy that stresses quality and service. You must develop an error-free reporting system. If I were the two of you, I would sit down and I'd say, let's develop a report. How many calls are we going to make? And let's report on it. How many presentations are we going to make? And let's report on it. Let's report back on our business together. You must constantly seek to pay minimum taxes but stay within the law. You must diversify into those areas that fit and supplement your existing business. And that's what you see 21st Century doing. As we develop these other services, they still fit and complement and supplement the existing core business. What is the existing core business? It's the system. Okay? You must diversify. You must find something worthwhile to do with the money you earn. You must sell your company or service only when you are no longer excited about what you do. While these suggestions are exceptional for a starting entrepreneur, I want to discuss important startup concepts as they relate to you as a 21st century consultant. Your USP has been determined. You guarantee performance, you look at marketing differently, you create and implement marketing. This then is your USP. So in starting a business, you want your USP. Get on the phone and find out information to make certain that in 90 words or less you have a USP. The next step to the system, pay attention to all current incoming business. That is increasing the average closing rate and ticket price. Then the system emphasizes keeping customers as ongoing purchasers of services or product. Now, while this can work great for an established consultant, a startup consultant needs to be concerned about getting customers initially. The way to use the system in getting this accomplished is through joint ventures or alliances. So I'd really be thinking about three or four people you could go back to right now and forge an alliance. Okay?
Examine the relationships you have with other professionals who might have complementary client customer base. Go and make a deal. Give them a larger portion of upfront revenue in order to get the deal closed. You can then own the name and enjoy the back-end profits. This is the best way to acquire a customer base quickly. Avoid large expense in media. Use extensively the suggestions made in the section of community and PR. You should go back and do a press release or things if you can. See where the product provides good news value. These are ways that you can utilize the system in getting your practice started quickly. Excuse me. All right. Direct marketing outline for implementation. Your client may be ready as soon as you meet to have you implement more or better direct marketing. They may be ready for PMMG. Professional Marketing Management Group is our licensee who is in a position could do marketing fulfillment. So if you have a client that wants long-term marketing, direct mail and all of that, they can help, or 21st Century Marketing Systems can also help. And so if you want to have us do it, then just call us and we'll get in touch with that client and we'll set up the systems and give you a portion of that. So just see where they're at. Don't push projects. Don't push clients into projects they don't need. Go for the first highest leveraged project. One is make certain they have the USP, that they're upselling, customer base is working, and alliances. Okay? And then your rest of your implementation. Low-cost, high-profit marketing, potential entrepreneurial marketing ideas. Telemarketing is one. Making sales with telemarketing. Getting involved with the community. Front-end break-even for back-end profits, free samples and specialty items, phone soliciting on hold, seminars and clinics, direct a newsletter, community involvement, make it easy to buy. The key to your starting your practice is going to make it easy to buy.
Easy to buy.
Yeah. And one of the things that you'll do is you'll want to go back and you'll want to hold firm to your fee. Well, doggone it, they may not just buy it yet. Okay? So go ahead and drop. Go ahead and say, well, let's work out something. Well, how would it work for you? Would it be two payments or would it be just one small one and we'll do the survey? Just tell us, you know, that's what you want to be in the frame of mind when you go back. It's just, how can I service you? How can I best service you? You know, let's start with how I've serviced others and how the system has worked for others. But, Tom, listen, what will work best for you? Our goal is to really just get going and get your praise and win your praise so that we can get your endorsements. That's what we want. So what do we got to do? See? And just make it easy to buy. Don't make it tough. Other low-cost marketing projects, marketing alliances, again, cross-promotions, talks about employees, section on using them better, turning them into profit centers. And here's a telemarketing script that worked really well for our caterer. Here's a page out of order. Oh, no, you're done. Okay. We fixed it. All right, good. Okay.